Good morning. Worship team, thank you very much for leading us in that time of worship and song. That was a new song that you taught us this morning, wasn't it, David? Was that song that one that your Waymaker? Was that the first time you sung that here? I don't remember that. I must have missed it. Man. Yeah, I must not have been, because that's a very powerful, powerful song. I love the words that are in there. Do you understand what you were doing when you sang those words, right? You were preaching to your mind. And that's what we're here to talk about this morning. And the title of this morning's talk is Invisible War. Invisible War. You know, whenever I'm done preaching or speaking or teaching, there's not a day that doesn't go by that there's a battle or attacking thoughts that come my way. And I don't see Lynn here this morning, but I know he would tell you the same thing. I'm sure all the other brothers who have spoken up here would tell you the same thing, that when you bring forth the word, or when you're in life and your mind gets bombarded with thoughts. Last Sunday after church, I went home and sat on the couch, and just overwhelming thoughts. Just, you didn't say the right thing. You could have done this, you know, over and over again. And I want to talk to us about that, because I'm no different than you. And what that means is I'm not saying just because as someone who's a pastor who gets up and preaches the word, this is a battle that goes on for you, and it's very important that we grasp this. And matter of fact, as reading through this and listening to other men talk about this, this is probably the most important thing we as followers of Jesus or anybody in the world can learn to do, and that is to preach to your mind. So if you don't get anything out of this today, remember those words, preach to your mind. Lynn used the phrase, preach grace to our minds. We're going to talk about some ways that you do it, because the mind is a battlefield. It is a battlefield because of that, and because of that battlefield, it is so powerful. God gave it to us, that even in the Garden of Eden, that's the very first thing that Satan attacked. Was Eve's mind. What did she think about God, what God had said? And he went after that. And there are tons of scripture, literally hundreds of verses that talk about thoughts and the mind. And this morning we want to go to one passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians. But before we do, let's just pray. Father, this passage that we're getting ready to read tells us to take every thought into captivity. Every thought. That means the things that I'm even saying to you right now, I'm supposed to take into captivity. I don't even know how to do that sometimes. And this is some new stuff for me. This is some new stuff. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move among us here as a church this morning. You would speak to each individual the things that are uniquely designed for them from your word. And Satan, I'm asking that you would leave this place. And I'm telling you, to commanding you in the name of Jesus to leave this place this morning. That you would not be able to snatch away the word of God. In the name of Jesus, I ask this. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says this, though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. So in other words, we don't fight with armor. We don't fight with politics, and we don't fight with money. We don't fight with all the humanistic ways. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. What's a stronghold? And if you were in the Beta Satan class today, John Bevere mentioned that. Strongholds are thoughts. They are things, the way you think about something, and you build on them one block at a time. You hear something spoke over here, and you take that and you say, oh, that's great, that's good, and you put that in there. And if it's not from God, it begins to build a foundation of a stronghold. But have the divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Apostle Paul here is describing our job. And this is not a job that ends when we leave church here this morning. This is a job that continues to go day in and day out, and that is to destroy strongholds. Not only strongholds in the world, but strongholds in our life, that are in our mind. Paul is talking about pretensions or arguments that are set up against the knowledge of God. What do you know about God? It's a mental battle. And he says we are to destroy them. Strongholds can be a worldview, such as materialism, hedonism, Darwinism, secularism, relativism, communism, atheism. All the different isms that are in the world are a worldview, and they are mental strongholds that people set up against the knowledge of God. A stronghold can have, and notice, in the midst of all those isms, when you read about them or you're told or talked or you heard them talked about, there is an element of God. Don't forget that. There's an element of God in all of them. The devil is a deceiver. He comes as a father of light. He tries to deceive. And he will mix in God with his way of thinking. And a stronghold can be a personal attitude. Worry. Seeking the approval of others. Strongholds. Anything that you make an idol in your life can be a stronghold. Fear, guilt, resentment, insecurity, anxiety, depression. On and on and on we can list. That deal with the mind. All of these things, we are told to tear them down. Paul then writes in there, he says, and focus in on the last part of that, and you are to take captive every thought. Take captive every thought to obey Christ. The word captive means to control or to conquer, to bring into submission. So we take captive and we make it submit to us, right? No. Well, careful. Kind of caught you there. No, we make it obey what God says. Take captive, not to ourselves. We take captive, but make it submit to the obedience of Christ. Bring it under control. Now, how do you do this? How many of you were singing this morning and your mind was elsewhere? Be honest. Oh, man. Nobody else's mind was wandering as you were singing and thinking of something else? Man, that's great. You guys got tremendous control of your minds. How many of you have ever been praying and in the midst of prayer, an evil thought comes to your mind? Yeah, I'm right there with you. How many of you ever been talking to God, just having a conversation with him, and all of a sudden your mind goes over here on something else in life that's going on? You know, the mind doesn't want, in other words, sometimes we don't have control even of our own minds. Our minds wander. It's often very rebellious. It's keyed on rebellion. It wants to go in a different direction. Your mind, you want to go over here and you come. Just example, we were here at prayer meeting Wednesday night and we were reading through Psalms 27, which I'll read here in a little bit. And my mind began to wander about all kinds of stuff. Why? It's important that we grasp this. The mind is what, allows us to believe and truly hold on to what we say we do. So sometimes on Sunday morning, we're up here talking, or we're talking to a brother and sister, and we say things that, do we even really believe? It's because we're told to say it. We're taught to say these things. We're brought up, that's what I heard. So we say them, but do we really believe what we say? Romans 7, Paul says this, for the good I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want, that I keep on doing. O wretched man that I am. So even though your mind, you want to do one thing, and you really want to strive for God, and you really want to follow Him, but the next thing you know, you're over here doing something that you have no control over. How in the world did I find myself over here? We will be ineffective as followers of Jesus if we don't learn how to fight this war. Let me say that again. We will be ineffective as followers of Jesus if we don't learn how to fight this war. I'm using some stuff that I heard from another brother. Not everything here is original with me this morning, and I'm grateful for what this brother shared. But he gives four principles. His name is Rick Warren. If you've never heard of him, he's a pastor of a church out in California. And whether you believe he's a pastor, and sometimes it's been controversial in some of the stuff that he is in, but he lists four principles that are vital for battling in the mind. And when I read them, I was shocked because I found myself saying, no, I don't normally do this. You see, the world puts those suggestions of false and make us think all kinds of stuff. We're bombarded by it day in and day out. Advertisements. You can watch movies. They're all scripted by the devil when it comes to something that causes you to sin or to go against what God says in His Word. And Satan is consistently making suggestions all the time. Our problem is much deeper than Satan in the world. We're all plagued with a mental illness. That mental illness is sin. And it's sin that causes us to go and our minds to wander. The Bible lists over and over again the conditions of our minds when we're under sin. They are confused, Deuteronomy 28:20. Our minds are anxious and closed, Job 30:17-3-4. They're evil and restless, our minds are, when Ecclesiastes 2:21-23. Our minds become rash and deluded, Leviticus 5:4, Isaiah 32:4. Our minds become troubled, depraved, sinful, dull, blinded, and corrupt when our minds are controlled by sin. They are broken, in need of repair. It means that we can't even trust what we think. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all that we can ask or think. In other words, I can't even trust my own heart. And by the way, doctors are beginning to know, if you love to read science stuff, doctors are beginning to understand the human heart has the ability to learn. You can teach your heart. How many of you run? There's some runners in here. Where's Ruthie at and some of the ladies that run? Ruthie, when you're running, what's the one thing you have to train yourself to do? Well, maybe not. Maybe when I went through an alert, and as I was, the first thing they told us in running, when you're running a long distance, they taught us two things. One, survival shuffle, which is when you get to the point where you can't go any further, but you've got to keep going, you just shuffle along. But the most important thing they taught us is your breathing habit. You must train your body how to take in oxygen over and over and over again. In the nose, out the mouth. In the nose, out the mouth. And you do it to a cadence. And you do that, you can run for miles and miles and miles and miles because the oxygen going into your body is regulated. Yeah, I don't know, Ruthie. Maybe that's something maybe they never taught you that, or maybe you just took off on your own. I don't know. But that's one of the things I constantly remember whenever I run or whenever riding a bike. try to regulate my breathing. Oxygen. It's important for us what we put in to our minds. You see, we have the ability to lie to ourselves, and we do a pretty doggone good job of that. We tell ourselves, oh, it's no big deal. As I was reading these things, I thought of an illustration that I happened to have. I was getting ready to preach one Sunday morning. I may have shared this here, and if I did, I'll share it again. But I was getting ready to preach one Sunday, and I was studying, and God was telling me, convicting me, you need to go over here and make this right with this brother. And, of course, I didn't know he was a brother at this time, but I said, you need to go make this right with someone. Drove past his house, turned in the lane. I asked you to go back and make it right. But no, Lord, my sin wasn't against him. My sin was against you and you only, and against thee and thee only have I done this evil in thy sight, Lord. That's what I quoted. It's Psalms 51, David. God, I asked you to go over there and make this right. But Lord, my sin was against you and you only, not against him. He doesn't know anything about it. What was I doing? I was using Scripture to lie to myself. When God tells you to do something, you do it. But the car reversed around and went over there and made it right. It's easy for us to lie to our minds. Satan, the father of lies, John 8:48, says that he is the father of lies. And if he can get you to believe a lie, then he can get you to sin. And anytime we're sin, we are saying we know better than God. And we have no question what we think. We must question what we think. We deceive ourselves all the time. So point number one that you want to take away from this is don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. Because sometimes what you're thinking is not accurate. It's not of God. Number two thing that you want to remember is guard our minds from garbage. Proverbs 15:14 says this, a wise person is hungry for knowledge, while a fool feeds on trash. Psalms 101:3 says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. You and I would never invite a couple to our home and ask them to commit an act of adultery in front of us. And yet every time we watch a movie or something of that nature that has that, we are doing the very same thing. We would never ask someone to come and commit murder in front of us. But every time we watch or listen or hear things that invoke murder or hurt, we're doing the very same things. Psalms 103, I will not set anything before my eyes that is worthless. Guard our minds from garbage. There's a lot of stuff that we can fill our minds with. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, and we put lots of things into our lives that are lawful, but not really necessary. In other words, they're not helpful. It's okay to have that in your mind, but it's not really needed. You don't need it. We're told in the Bible to fill our minds with right things. If we want to be faithful and fruitful in our walk, we must fix our minds on the right things. God not only expects faithfulness, he expects fruitfulness. I chose you that you should go and bear fruit, John 15:16 says. Jesus cursed a fig tree for not bearing fruit. It is important to be fruitful, not just faithful. Two ways to guard our minds. I'm learning these. I haven't perfected them. I wish I could say that. Philippians 4:6-8 says this. It gives us two things, two keys to guide our hearts and our minds. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The first way that we guard our hearts and minds is to be in prayer about everything. And that doesn't mean you're driving down the road and you close your eyes. Please don't do that. You don't have to be on bended knee or closed eyes to be in prayer with God. Conversational prayer is the first key to guarding our hearts and minds. Consistently be talking to God. You can be in a conversation with somebody and they're asking you a question that you don't know the answer to. But you can be asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me, reveal to me, speak to me, give me words to say. And He'll give you words to say that you might not really want to say. And He'll also tell you to shut up when you're talking. He's done that. Be quiet. Don't say a word. Listen. Conversation with God is not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. When you're conversational prayer, when we're carrying on a conversation with somebody, it's two-way. Not one-way, it's two-way. The second thing that we can do to guard our hearts and our minds is to have concentrated focusing. Now, I'm not talking about sitting in a specific position and closing your eyes and putting your mind all the way out. What does He tell us to do here? He actually tells us to think about certain things. That's all good. Don't get me wrong. Sitting back, quiet, closing your eyes, listening, hearing from God. But He's telling us to think about specific things here. He says, whatever things are honorable, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Now, if you look at those words that are in there, who are they describing? Speak up. I heard it over here. Jesus. These words are describing Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through me. If you want to guard your heart and your mind from garbage, think on Jesus. Think about the pureness of Jesus. Think about what was just and what Jesus did for us. Think about how honorable He was. Think about what is lovely about Jesus. Whatever is commendable about Jesus. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, there's nothing more than think about Jesus. Guard your hearts. Guard my heart. And then number three, never let up on learning. Never let up on learning. When I took the quote-unquote, I guess, quiz, if you would call it, the questionnaire, that's what it was, to be licensed and ordained in the Conservative Mennonite Conference at that time, CMC, they sit you down in a room with, I don't know, honey, how many were there? 10? Were there 10 other men in there? Maybe not quite that many. 5 or 6. It's a panel of pastors who've been pastors for many years. And they grill you. I say they grill you. That's what I was told. I was actually really worried and nervous that they were going to, because, you know, I had answered the questions on my questionnaire with as honesty as I could, that I understood. And one of the questions was on there, have you ever committed adultery? And I clicked the answer and I said no at first, and then down the line, and began to think, that's not an accurate answer, Matt, based on what God's Word says, so you better go back and fix that. So I went back, answered the question, said, yes, I did. And I knew they were going to ask me that question. Why? What are you talking about? I have committed adultery. I've been married to Julie for 20 years in November here, and adultery, by God's definition, is not sleeping with another lady. It can be lusting after another woman in your heart. That's committing adultery. So by a man's definition of adultery, no, I have not. But by God's definition, I have. And I had to answer that honestly. So I answered a question, and I was expecting to get grilled on all these questions. And they did ask me about that. And I answered it the way it is, and they were satisfied with the answer. And I explained to them, but then I got done at the end of the thing. I said, now, can I ask you guys some questions? I said, sure. I said, you guys have hundreds of years worth of experience in here. Give me something that will help me with becoming a good pastor, someone that I can learn from. And one of the guys said, read, learn. Well, I haven't done a really good job at that. I'm working at it. But that's one of the points here that Rick Warren says, never let up on learning. Your mind is a battlefield, and you must fill your mind with God, the knowledge of God, the truth, the promises of God, love of knowledge, love of wisdom, learn to love, an act of learning. The word disciple literally means learner. That means we don't just come and do the normal everyday life. We are consistently wanting to learn about God. Jesus said, come unto me all who are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Matthew 11:28. When you take a yoke, when an oxen takes a yoke, you are sharing the burden with the other animal. You lighten the load, and Jesus wants us to learn from him. You can learn from anybody. The Bible does teach us that. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You can get it in the heart of man. In other words, you can learn from just anybody out there on the street. I'm learning from Rick Warren. I learned from him when I listened to what he was sharing with us. How do you do it? You draw it out by asking questions. I'm not very good at reading, and if you memorize stuff from a page, I can do that. I can memorize the page and give you the answer. But hands-on is where I learn the best. Show me how this is done. Asking questions, how that. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, so we learn from one another. But there's a key in learning. You must be humble. We must have the character of humility. Because God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. He will not give you and help you learn if you're prideful. If you were in the Beta Satan class, he talked about that this morning. Pride attracts the enemy and love attracts the Holy Spirit. Pride attracts the enemy and love attracts the Holy Spirit. The mind of a smart person is eager to get knowledge, and the wise person listens to more. Proverbs 18:15. We need to be eager to learn and willing to listen. Wise men, Proverbs 10:14 says, wise men store up knowledge. That's the only thing in the scripture that you're told to store up. Where Jesus told us, do not lay up treasures in heaven for yourself, where moth and rust will corrupt, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust must decay. Wisdom is okay. Wise men store up knowledge. That is fine. God's okay with you storing up knowledge. However, to store it up and not to use it or apply it is committing abortion. And I'll say that again. If you build yourself up with knowledge of God and who he is, it's the same thing as committing abortion. You must keep him. Isaiah 26:3 says, keep him in perfect peace. You, that's God, you keep him, that's me or you, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Our mental state depends on what we think about God. Keep our minds fixed on the Word of God, the mind of God, the convictions of God, the character of God, the skills of God, and then apply all that we learn to our life day in and day out. Because knowledge without application is abortion. Number four, let God stretch our imagination. Now, I had a hard time with this one. As I've told you before, many times before, that as a boy growing up, because of things that were said to me in life, I kind of shut down my imagination, my creativity. But God has been giving me dreams and ideas and things that, yeah, I think, how in the world is going to happen? If you got them, keep them going. That's what I want us to grasp here on this. This is a gift God gave to us. To dream, to envision, to plan, to put forth things. Don't crush that. We need people to become great godly dreamers for God. The church needs to be godly dreamers for God. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, people perish. In other words, people are gone. They're lawlessness. There's no control in their life. In the last days, Acts 2:17, it says, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The biggest limitation is our imagination. God cannot fulfill our dreams if we don't have one. Say that again. God cannot fulfill our dreams if we don't have one. God cannot bless our vision if we don't have a vision for our life. And God cannot help us reach our goal if we don't have a goal. Don't give up. A goal is kind of a statement of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. The Bible says that, and according to our faith, it is done to you. And when we set goals, we're saying to God, I believe you want me to accomplish this with your help, even if it's by a certain amount of time. Dream great dreams for God and teach others to dream for God. Without vision, the people perish. It's not enough just to believe everything we think. It's not enough just to guard our minds. It is not just enough to keep on learning and developing character. We must also develop our imagination, because we must outthink and outdream and outsmart a world for the glory of God. Paul says in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly all that we can ask or think, more than we can imagine. So take the biggest imagination. As a boy growing up, I was at a conference and the speaker was speaking and he said, write down something that you know is way out of your control. Well, at that time, I had this dream of speaking before millions and millions of people. And so I wrote down to see 1 million souls come to know Christ. Now, the sad part about it is I haven't really acted on that. But I wrote down a dream that was so big that was beyond myself, that how in the world can that dream come to pass? Dream big. Write them down. And then act on it. You cannot say, I love to witness to people, if you don't witness to people. You can't say, I love to sing the praises of God, if you don't sing. We must be habitual about our dreams. If you've got a dream and God's given to you, act on it. Don't just sit by and do something. That dream will never come to pass. You can't. God's not going to just say, here's your dream, and then you don't do anything with it. That means when you pray, pray big. Pray beyond yourself. Think beyond yourself. Worship team, you can come up. I'm going to leave you with one last thing as they're coming up, using the word think. And I'm going to read to you something from Psalms 27 that we had here at prayer meeting. Say prayer meeting. It's not prayer meeting. It's prayer in the Word. It's talking to God. It's not traditional prayer meeting. I will tell you that. If you don't come to prayer meeting on here, I'm using the word prayer meeting again. That's traditional. It's in my mind. See that, Matt? You got to see what I'm telling you about, what your mind says? Traditionally, what prayer meeting is you come to prayer and you sit in a circle, or you sit down and you spend time praying. It's ingrained in my mind. The story of a boy whose dad, he was from the time he was 6 to the time he was 12, took him to the top of the hill every day as he was going to school. Have you heard this story? Have I told this story here before? Okay. Took him to the top of the hill, and he would point down. See that village down there, son? Your job is to kill them. They're the enemy. Every day, from the time he was 6 to the time he was 12, and then at 12 years of age, he strapped a bomb suit to his chest, and he walked down in the village and killed hundreds of people. Why? Because he had trained his mind. His mind was consistently bombarded with the fact that they were his enemy and he was going to kill. We get bombarded as a kid. Things you say, things we do, the way we believe changes, causes us to think about things. Rick Warren gave me five things with the word think. T-H-I-N-K. T stands for test. Test every thought. Psalms 139, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Ask God, search my heart, test my thoughts. Don't believe anything we think. Test everything. H stands for helmet on your head. Now, helmet on your head. Going to the armor of God, Ephesians 6:17. Put on the helmet of salvation. In other words, preach to our minds the wonderful promise of God's salvation. I, imagine great thoughts. Think about all the great promises of God, and everything is possible to him who believes. What an amazing blank check we have in Christ. Imagine great thoughts. Psalms 27, when we were sitting here the other night, this is the thought that struck me. And this is something that you and I have to do day in and day out. If you're in depression, or down in the dumps, or anxiety comes upon you, or you're discouraged, do the same thing David did. David wrote in Psalms 27, listen to what he's doing here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. What's he doing? Amen. He is preaching to himself. That means this was not written. We got it today here. God gave it to us, and I'm so grateful for that. But David was preaching to himself. He wrote this for himself. When you get depressed or you're down in the dumps, or like this afternoon or tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday, when Satan comes after me and says, what the world did you just speak to the church up there? You know you messed up. You skipped over a section of your sermon. You did it. Whatever he puts in my mind, I've got to come back and preach to myself. Church, we have to remind ourselves, our minds are a battlefield. And it is not a war. I can't see what's going on in your minds right now. It's an invisible war that wages. And we have to, part of the followers of Jesus, and in this world today, be able to recognize when someone's at war. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. I've been there many times, at work, outside of work. You're in a conversation with someone and you can tell they're at war in their minds. There's things going on. Holy Spirit will reveal to you when someone's battling. If we put on the helmet of salvation and imagine our thoughts. Number N, nourish a godly mind. Make sure you are growing and developing a godly mind. Psalms 119. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Meditate and fix. Study and reflect. Study, reflect. Meditate and fix. Think about those things. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And last is K. Keep on learning. The Bible says, practice these things, immerse yourselves in them so that all may see your progress. 1 Timothy 4:15. Brothers and sisters, I want for myself, not just for the church to share this. This is a message not just for you, everybody here, but for myself. We have to take captive everything, every thought into the obedience of Christ. Bring it back. Otherwise, who's got it? The devil, Satan. He's got it. If we're not taken captive, he's got it. And that, it's such an important message for us as a church that we should continue to take captive those thoughts. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning. This is a very important lesson for us as a church, for myself, to hold on to your promises, to take captive everything to the obedience of Christ. Teach us, Father, how to do that. These are some outline stuff that I heard and I received myself from another brother in Christ. Holy Spirit, you have been given to us. Teach us how to do this on a day-to-day basis. Not something for our own glory, but for your glory. Keep us from evil. Help us to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Tell us this stuff. It's not just a bunch of words that I'm saying up here, Lord. Make it a real part of me. Make it a real part of my brothers and sisters. As they meditate on it this week, as they mull it over in their minds, the Holy Spirit, will you speak to each one of us and about the things that we all deal with? And may you guard our hearts and minds with your peace. Help us to set our thoughts on things above and not on the things of this earth. Our affections, put them on there. Holy Spirit, I thank you. I thank you for giving us this great book called the Bible. It helps us to see truth. Jesus, we thank you, worship you. As we now sing, stand and sing praise, accept it as a sacrificial offering back to you.